Jesus comes to us in the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed.
You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name.
You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation.
You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit.
Casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly.
You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
You have come to the aid of your servant Israel
to remember
the promise of mercy.
The promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. God, yet again we come here to this place with all that we carry in our hearts, in our lives, and all in the world that swirls around us. We come here to sense your love, to sense your grace and power. We pray that you would open our hearts so that by your Spirit we might hear your word of love, that we might hear your will for our lives. Open our hearts to your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are Star Wars toys, Star Wars costumes, Star Wars t-shirts, Star Wars ice cream, Star Wars toothpaste, Star Wars camel soup, Star Wars cereal, Star Wars bed sheets, Star Wars furniture, even a baby crib shaped like the Millennial Falcon. People camping out at theaters can't see scalp as much as $2,000 for an opening night. And an opening day record of $120 million in the U.S., $250 million worldwide. Wouldn't it be great if people got so excited about coming to church? I said to someone over the weekend, and they said, "Yeah, Pastor, but you realize that means you would only get to preach 7 times every 38 years. To which someone said, "Amen." Decades ago, I remember seeing the movie Jesus Christ Superstar for the very first time. And hearing the character Judas sing the theme song with these lines in it: "Jesus, why'd you choose such a backward time in a strange land? If you had just come today, you would have reached whole nations, because Israel in 4 BC had no mass communications." Over the years, I've kind of wondered why, if God had just sent Jesus in the last half of the 20th century or here in the 21st century with all his miracles and amazing teachings, there would have been instantaneous worldwide recognition. It would have made Star Wars look like nothing. The internet, tweets, Facebook posts, YouTube videos, smartphones, blogs, CNN live reports from Palestine, the media frenzy would have gone crazy. The whole world might just have had Jesus made it. But that's not how God chose to do it. Instead, as we hear in today's gospel on the final Sunday before Christmas, the true saga of God's force of grace and saving love awakens. And it unfolds with two pregnant women, unknown to the entire world, meeting face to face in a little town in the backwater hill country of Judea. There is elderly Elizabeth in her home, 6 months pregnant at the time. It had all come about after an angel had appeared to Zechariah when he was taking his turn working in the Lord's house. And the angel had announced the unbelievable news. Elizabeth is so filled with joy because her and her husband Zechariah's lifelong dream of having a child is finally coming true. And then out of the blue, 6 months later, completely unannounced to her and Zechariah, in her front door walks one of her young teenage relatives from the town of Nazareth. A young girl named Mary, most likely about 14, 15 years old at the time of the birth. They are two women on the opposite spectrum of life, not only in age, but also in emotion. And yet they are united by one thing, God's unfolding gift of love for the world. You see, unlike Elizabeth, who was filled with joy, Mary has much else on her mind. Because this young teenage girl has some real problems. So much so that she has had to flee her home and come to find a place of refuge. She comes to Elizabeth because through the angel, Mary has heard of Elizabeth's own miraculous pregnancy. The angel has told Mary of Elizabeth's pregnancy as affirmation of the, quote, truth that nothing is impossible with God, unquote. But perhaps also the angel told Mary about Elizabeth's own pregnancy so that this young teenage girl could have someone to whom she could turn. See, Elizabeth does not yet know that Mary is pregnant. Mary herself has just found out that she too is expecting a child. And she apparently has yet told no one. Her problem, you see, at least problem number one, is that Mary is not yet married, which is a catastrophe in her head. She is engaged, all right, to Joseph the carpenter, a faithful and righteous man back in her hometown of Nazareth. But here's problem number two. Her child is not Joseph's. Now we know that eventually Joseph will come to accept this child after he receives his own message from God as he sleeps one night. But that is still down the road. And according to the religious rules of Mary's day, and still today in some places of the world, sadly, if anyone found out that Mary was pregnant under these conditions, she would have been stoned to death. Because that is the law. So this young girl must flee to the hills. She must leave behind her own home, her parents, the other teenage girls from Nazareth that she grew up with who were going to be excited to be a part of her wedding. She must leave behind Joseph and all the excitement over what was soon to have unfolded in her life. Talk about a pregnancy with complications. With all this in mind, perhaps we better understand what an agonizing conversation it must have been But that angelic messenger appeared to Mary to tell her that she had been chosen by God to give birth to the long-awaited Messiah. And perhaps, just perhaps, we have a greater appreciation of that moment when, in response to the angel's news, Mary responds, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Say Mary's words with me. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. It can be a humbling experience to hear those words come out of your own mouth. It can be a humble yet powerful way to begin each and every day. Maybe try it sometime when you wake up in the morning and say those words. Here I am, servant of the Lord. Be with me today according to your word. It's one of the most moving moments of the Alpha Nativity drama we share every year. It almost always brings a tear to the corner of my eyes to see this young teenage girl fall on her knees, look to the heavens, and utter those words, knowing precisely what it could mean for her life. Talk about putting your commitments of life and faith in the manger. And so with that commitment of her life and faith in her heart, and the burden of all the potential consequences that could come her way, Mary shows up unannounced at Elizabeth's table. And what happens? At the mere sound of Mary's voice, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. And Elizabeth knows who her child is supposed to be, the one who is to prepare the way for the Messiah. And when that child in her womb leaps, she cannot contain her joy. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, Elizabeth exclaims with a loud cry to Mary, "Blessed are you among all the women of the world, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" What beautiful words for Mary's ear. If you've been doing faith Bible at home with someone over the past few months, you know that the final one of the five is to share a blessing with the other person or persons. And perhaps you come to know how affirming that can be. If you haven't had the chance to do that with someone, take a moment this morning and we'll share that with someone around you. Just reach over, put a hand on their shoulder, if you like, make a sign of a cross on their head, and tell them they are blessed. Say, "God loves you so much. You are blessed by God." Find someone and share it. Now that feels pretty good, huh? but it would pale in comparison to the feeling of relief and joy that Mary must have felt to hope for being blessed by Elizabeth. In the face of all life-changing, even life-threatening consequences, Mary has still believed the Lord, and thanks be to God, here is someone to affirm her belief. How many times do we need someone to affirm us amidst all the trials and challenges of living out our faith in this troubled world? How many times has God blessed you with someone to uplift you in a time of difficulty with a word of encouragement or blessing? Or how many times has God presented you with the opportunity to be that person of comfort and encouragement and blessing to someone else? See, just like Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I, we baptized people of God who have been marked with the cross, we too have been filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we may be there for one another, for people we know, for those in our own families, for strangers whom we've never met before. We may be there to be that word, that living blessing for them, not with rehearsed lines or religious agendas, but with grace and love and the comforting power of God. For that same Spirit which God used to conceive the Christ child in Mary, is the same Spirit that God works in you to carry Christ into this world, to be the blessing of Christ for another. Perhaps that's why God chose to bring Jesus into the world the way God did, to show us that the gift of His Son was not some mass media marketing frenzy, but to show us that the gift of God's Son, the work of God's love, takes place in the world as God works through the lives and interactions of plain, ordinary human beings, just like these two women who were married, and just like you. It is the way God chose to debut the first appearance of Christ, and it is the way God continues to unveil the power of Christ's love in the world through those who carry the Spirit to be a living blessing to others. When Mary receives those words of blessing, her heart cannot contain it, and she burst into song, the song we read responsibly at the end of the gospel. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And while she still has much to face, the burden is lifted from her heart, and her heart is filled instead with joy. See, the lyrics of Mary's song, which we read, are still known today, even nearly 2,000 years after she first sang them. Something not even the great Adele could pour off. For Mary's words are not generated or promoted by a record label. Mary's words are generated by the joy of faith, the joy of being a servant of God, having been blessed by the Spirit at work when other human beings, having been blessed by the Spirit to carry the love of God to the world. Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. On this final Sunday before Christmas, may these words ring in our ears and resound in our hearts. And may the force, the true force, the Spirit of all life.